Okay, so tonight I want to discuss the topic of reheating food on Shabbos, which is a very important topic because we like hot food on Shabbos. And not only that, but we have a requirement. I think I mentioned this in the past. We actually have a little bit of a requirement, a custom, or an obligation to have hot food on Shabbos. And the reason is because we know that the Tzedukim, the Sadducees, they only believed in the Torah Shebichtav. They only believed in the Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore, the Torah says, "Lo sevaru esh b'chol moshfoseichem b'yom haShabbos." So you can't have any fire in your camps on the day of Shabbos. So they felt that it was improper even to leave a fire going into Shabbos, to leave a fire on and to leave hot, you know, food on the fire, so that you'll have hot food on Shabbos. They felt that was improper. So we specifically want to show that they're incorrect, right, and that the explanation of the Chachamim and the Torah Shebaal Peh is correct. That just means you can't light a fire. But obviously, if you have a fire going into Shabbos, that's perfectly fine. So we specifically go out of our way to try to have hot food on Shabbos, which is really where this minhag of eating cholent, right? It's an age-old minhag of eating cholent comes from, because that was a dish that you could just, you know, leave on the fire going into Shabbos and let it cook throughout Shabbos, and Shabbos day you'll have hot food. But so what happens if you don't have cholent and you want hot food, or let's say you want some other hot food in addition to cholent? So how can we heat that hot food up on Shabbos? So issue number one that we have to deal with is the issue of bishul. Right? I mean, we're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, and the question is, sometimes if you heat food that's cold on Shabbos, it's going to violate bishul. So we discussed this way back in the beginning of this little mini-series on cooking on Shabbos, and what we essentially came out with was that when it comes to dry foods, right, when it comes to dry foods without any liquids, so I always say a potato kugel, right? You imagine a potato kugel, which is essentially a dry food. Every food has some little bit of moisture, but we're talking about significant moisture. So you have a potato kugel, which is a dry food. Potato kugel is cooked before Shabbos. It's baked, right, before Shabbos. So the halacha is, ein bishul achar bishul, right, or ein afia achar afia, and therefore there's no problem. You're allowed to reheat that potato kugel on Shabbos, and there's no violation of bishul, right? It's already it's fully cooked before Shabbos, so if I heat it up again on Shabbos, there's no problem. We said the only problem would be if it's something that has liquid. So a soup or something, you know, a very saucy chicken, something that has liquid, so that, when it comes to liquids, at least Ashkenazim, we're machmer that we say yesh bishul achar bishul, that even if you just reheat the liquid, it's considered cooking it, and therefore we don't reheat liquids that have completely cooled down on Shabbos. Sfardim are a little bit more makel, especially if it's something like a saucy chicken. Many Sfardim don't heat up soup, you know, something that's completely liquid. But if you have something that's solid with liquid, you know, many Sfardim will reheat that on Shabbos. But Ashkenazim don't. But that's the first thing that we have to worry about. The first thing we have to worry about is the bishul issue. And therefore, for us Ashkenazim, we have to make sure, number one, that the thing that we want to heat up on Shabbos day, let's say, the thing we want to heat up, does not have any cooled liquid in it, right? A significant amount of cooled liquid. Once we know that, and we know that it's a solid, dry item that has been cooked already before Shabbos, it was completely cooked, so then seemingly we should be able to heat it up on Shabbos. And then the second question becomes, how exactly do we go about doing that? So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, here in source number one, describes that essentially there's a problem that's called nesina lechatchila. Nesina lechatchila means that if I take a pot, imagine I take a pot out of the refrigerator. So, you know, I want to get ready for Shabbos lunch. So we're eating at 12. I want to heat up the food. So I go into the refrigerator at about 10:30, 11 o'clock. I take out my potato kugel. Right, that's what I want to heat up for Shabbos lunch. I take out my deli roll, whatever the case is. I want to heat it up, and I want to just put it down on the fire. So let's say I have a blech. Right, or I have a hot plate, or whatever the case is. I want to just put it down right on the fire. Let's assume right now that we're talking about a blech for a minute. I want to put it down right on top of the blech. So can I just go ahead and put it right down? Put it down on top of the blech. It'll heat up in a little bit. You know, 20 minutes, half hour. The potato kugel will be hot, and then I'll have hot food for Shabbos. Right? Good idea. However, comes the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and says that that's aser. You can't do that. Okay? And he didn't come up with this issur, he's just describing the issur that's described by the poskim, by the Shulchan Aruch and the other poskim. Writes the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, V'chachamim lo hitiru el hachazara, v'alo lo hoshiv kedeiro b'tchila b'shabes al hakira. You're not allowed you're allowed to do what's called chazara, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But what you're not allowed to do, says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, is what's called lahoshiv kedeira b'tchila b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to take a pot or a pan or whatever and put it on the fire on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that. Even if the item is fully cooked, right? There's no bishul issue. My potato kugel was fully baked before Shabbos, no problem, right? I'm still not allowed to go and take it and put it directly onto the fire on Shabbos. Afal pi shehu be'inyan she'ein ba mishum iser bishul. There's no issue of bishul here whatsoever. Kigon shimu v'ushelas kvar kol tzarka. It's already fully cooked. She'ein bishul achar bishul. And we say with something dry, fully cooked, there's ein bishul achar bishul. Umut l'samucha yitzel ha'medura afilu b'makom she'yatzel l'arisbo. And we know you're allowed to put it near the fire, right? I could certainly put it on my counter, you know, right near the fire and let it get warm. There's certainly no problem with that. So why can't I put it right on top of the stove? When I put it down on the stove, which is the place that I normally cook on, right? That's my cooktop. That's normally where I cook my food. When you do that on Shabbos, it looks as though you're being mevashel. It looks as though you're cooking, right? Looks as though you're cooking. So therefore, we have an iser derabanan called nesina lechatchila, that I'm not allowed to take a pot or a pan or whatever of even fully cooked food, dry food, where there's no issue of bishul achar bishul. I'm not allowed to take that and put it directly onto the fire, directly onto the stove on Shabbos. Why? Because it's nireh kimevashel. It looks like I'm cooking. And therefore, the Chazal said you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos because it looks like you're cooking. Yeah.
Was it a maras hayin issue?
It's a good question. Nira kimavashel doesn't sound like exactly like Maris Ayin. You know, what exactly is the difference between Maris Ayin and Nira kimavashel? I'm not sure.
Well, if it's an Issa Durabanan, then you're over an Issa Durabanan. If it's Maris Correct. Ayin, I'm not over anything right from Maris Ayin. Let's say I take, you know...
Okay.
Let's say I took, you know, milk that looks like milk, like almond milk that looks like milk. I put in a clear pitcher. The same picture I use for milk, and I
have it at a meat meal, right? Okay.
So I know it's almond milk. I'm not over right, anything with right. RSI and somebody else. So
right.
It would make a big difference.
Don't invite any guests.
Yeah, I mean this is an issur derabanan.
Okay.
It's an issur derabanan because it looks like you're being mevashel. Now, what exactly is that? Are we worried about, you know, that people are going to see it and they're going to think that you're allowed to cook on Shabbos? You know, that's what it sounds like, but it's not so clear exactly where Nira Kimavashal ends and Maris Ayin begins, you know.
You're talking about putting it on a blech.
Yeah, even on a blech.
Fire.
Even on a blech, right?
Even on a blech.
Yeah, yeah. Even, right, we discussed a blech last week in terms of leaving food on the fire going into Shabbos, right? That's what we discussed last week. But here, if it was in the fridge, and I'm taking it out and putting it down directly on the blech, you know, directly, whether it's a fire or a blech, doesn't make a difference, right? Even if it's a blech, but it's still, that's the derech is to cook on a stovetop. So people, you know, will see. They'll just, you know, people will see me putting down something on a stovetop. So, yeah.
How about a platter? That's not a stovetop.
But we'll talk about that.
Okay.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, that's
all right.
That was my next question.
Yeah. Okay. Now, so what do you do? So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, well, I have an idea. Okay, you can't put it down directly onto the blech or onto the fire. So I have an idea. Writes the Shulchan Aruch. Mutar la says in source number 2, al pi kederas chamin b'shabbos, tavshish and izbashal me'erev Shabbos called tzarka, kegon pandish v'chayotze bohen l'chamimon, levishein derech bishul b'kach. Comes to Shulchan Aruch and has an ingenious suggestion. He says, listen, you're not allowed to put it down on the blech, right, or on the fire. Why? Because nirek imavashal, looks like you're cooking. So I have an idea. Why don't we do something strange that does not look like you're cooking, but still will heat up your food? What should we do? Let's put it on top of a pot. On top of a pot. So imagine I have my pot of cholent. So let's say I'm not cooking cholent in a crock pot. I'm doing it the old Israeli way. I'm cooking it on the blech, right? I have my cholent in a pot on the blech. Okay? Now I'll take my potato kugel, okay, wrap it in an aluminum foil. I'll, you know, perch it on the cover, on the pot lid, on top of my pot, and I'll heat up my potato kugel that way. Now, is that nira kimavasho? Will anyone think that I'm baking my potato kugel by putting it on top of a pot? Absolutely not. Because that's a very strange way of doing things. Nobody cooks on top of a pot, right? You cook right on the fire. You cook right on the blech. You cook right on something. You don't cook on top of a pot. So writes the Shulchan Aruch, No problem, right? You have a pot of challah sitting on your blech. Take your potato kugel, take your chicken, take your deli roll, whatever you want to heat up. Wrap it up. Perch it on top of the cover. You know, the covers are a little sloped, so you have to deal with the slope a little bit. You'll figure it out, you know, but perch it on top. And that way, that'll heat up your potato kugel. And it works, right? It works. Top of a challah pot is very hot. You touch it, it's very hot. You leave the kugel there for a half hour, the kugel will be hot, right? So that's a Shulchan Aruch's Eitzah. It's interesting. In source number 3, which is actually 2 Seifim earlier, the Shulchan Aruch has a similar sounding suggestion, but a little bit different. And there's a nuance here that the Bir Halacha picks up on, and it's an interesting discussion. The Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. Let's say you come down, you wake up Shabbos morning, and you take a sniff, you know, and you smell, uh-oh, the challah's burning. You know, the challah's burning. It's 7 o'clock in the morning, and my challah is burning. This is not good, right? This is not good. And this is lunch, you know? My wife didn't make anything else. This is it. Okay? So write to Shulchan Aruch, what should you do? Hamashkin ba'vokir v'rosh yikdicha tavshilo. You see your challah is burning. V'yarei pen yakdiach yoser. So you don't want to leave it on there. It's going to burn, you know, it's going to be burnt. It's going to be farbrent, right? Burnt to a crisp when you get to lunch. So you can't do that. So what should you do? You know, you don't want to just take it off, because if I just take it off, it'll be free. It'll be cold for lunch. So I want it hot, but I don't want it burnt. So what do I do? So write the Shulchan Aruch. Yachol lahasir ulhaniach kedera yishana reikhanis alpi lo alpi akira. I'm sorry, disregard the lamed aleph. Alpi akira. Ve'oz yasim akedera shatav shebesocha al gavi akedera reikhanis. Shulchan Aruch says, I have an answer for you. Take an empty pot. Okay, take an empty pot. Invert it, because it's easier to put things on the bottom of an inverted pot, right? Turn it over. Okay, I mean, he doesn't say turn it over, but you can or you whatever. Take an empty pot, you know, turn it over on top of the fire, okay? And then put the challah pot on top of that pot, the empty pot. Okay? So that way, it'll still be, you know, it'll still stay hot because there's heat there. You know, the heat's going to heat up the bottom empty pot, and then it's going to heat up your challah pot, so it'll still be hot, but it's, you know, further removed from the fire, so it's not going to burn. That's the Shulchan Aruch suggestion. Okay, now the Achronim ask on this. 1 second. You know, he gives a couple of conditions which we'll talk about a little bit later. The Bir Halach and others pick up on this and they say, well, 1 second. That's Sif Gimel. So in Sif Gimel he writes that you can take an empty pot and you can heat up, you know, keep your challah hot that way. How come in Sif Hay he wrote that the pot has to be full of food? Right, if you remember in Sif Hey, the Shulchan Aruch, when he was talking about how should you heat up the food, he said, you have a challah pot sitting on the fire that's full of food. Take your potato cocoa, wrap it up, and put it on top of the challah pot that's full of food. What do you mean a challah pot that's full of food? Why do we need a challah pot that's full of food? Just have an empty pot. Right? In Sif Gimel, he talked about an empty pot. If you come down Shabbos morning, you see your challah's burning, take an empty pot and put it on the fire. So why doesn't he say the same thing in Sif Hey? Right? That Shabbos morning you want to heat up, you know, forget burnt challah. Right, I want to heat up my potato kugel that's in my fridge. So why can't I take it out, take an empty pot, put the empty pot on the fire, and put my potato kugel on top of the empty pot? Why can't I do that?
Have you ever put an empty pot on the stove and turned on the fire?
Excuse me?
The empty pot, that has nothing to release the heat from.
Yeah.
Usually you cook the food, the empty pot will get red hot.
Correct. Right, so don't touch it. I mean, but you'll put your potato kugel on. Anyway, it's going to burn the kugel, you mean? That's what you're worried about?
No, you can ruin the pot.
Oh, ruin the pot. Okay, so, you know, let's say I have super strong pots. It won't.
Have to have a Shabbos pot.
It won't ruin my pot. You know, let's say, right? Okay, so comes the Bir Halach. If you skip to the second line towards the end of source number 4, this is where he asks the question, and he says, "Vilich Ora Soser Hamachaber Es Atzmo." He says the Shulchan Aruch seems to contradict himself here. Dilakamon b'sif hey hetik in sif later in sif hey he writes the motor litein lechatchila b'shabes ada afsha akadera tachtona omed asal ha'esh kevin shimavsekes umamid akadera aleha ein derech bishul b'kach. In sif hey he writes that you have a full challah pot. It's not derech bishul, right? Because I'm putting my kugel on top of my full challah pot. That's not derech bishul. That's not the way people cook, and therefore nothing to worry about. The adiva mikira grufu k'tuma. He says, no, right? So then you're allowed to do that. I'm skipping down. But okay, I'm sorry. So hold on, let's pause for a minute. So he writes, it seems to contradict what he writes in Tziv Gimel, because in Tziv Gimel he writes that it's only when you're taking the chant off the fire, then you're allowed to put it onto an empty pot. The implication is only in that situation. But if I'm just taking something from the refrigerator and I want to put it down, at the outset, I can't put it down on an empty pot. So this is what this is the question that the Bir Halacha asks on the Shulchan Aruch, and he quotes an answer of the Prima Gadim, who seems to explain why there's a discrepancy between a full pot and an empty pot, what the difference is. It seems though that the general practice is that we are not machalik. Right? Generally speaking, we are not machalik. Although some achronim are machmir, we don't really make a distinction between empty pots and full pots. And we paskin like this Shulchan Aruch, like both even of the Shulchan Aruch, that if you want to heat up hot food on Shabbos, right? You can put it down, whether it's a full pot, right? You can put it down in a full pot, or you can put it down in an empty pot. And that's what many people do. They have a cold something cold in their refrigerator Shabbos morning. They want to heat up their potato cooker, their chicken, their deli roll. So either you can take it and you can put it on top of the crock pot, which is hot, and that'll warm it up. Or you can invert a pot on top of the blech. The pot will get hot. And then put the potato cooker on top of that pot. To put it directly on the blech, that we shouldn't do, because that looks like cooking. Right, that looks like cooking. You're putting directly onto the stovetop. But once you have an inverted pot, once you have something there, so then it's okay. Yeah.
Who knows who cooks on a blech?
Okay, good question.
You could say is in a dairy restaurant where they make eggs, for example, in the morning, so they have a griddle. But that's for a specific purpose. They don't make anything else except an egg on that.
Right.
No one's ever seen anybody in anyone's home.
Cook on a blech. Right, yeah, I hear you.
The chalent pot gets put on the blech right over the fire.
And it cooks. Right, so essentially, and this is a big machlokas, we'll see when we get to, we can talk about it now. The question is, do we care about what people normally do? Right, the people normally cook on this type of surface, and that's what we're concerned with. Or do we care about a place where you can cook? And therefore, if you can cook there, and now someone sees me putting something onto the fire, onto a blech, even though, no, you're right, most people, you walk into their kitchen, they're not cooking on a blech, right? But since it's possible, like Moshe is saying, since it's possible to cook on a blech, if I want to, you could cook on a blech. So therefore, we have to be concerned. And this is the big machlokas where this really comes up, is the hot plate. Right? What do we consider a hot plate? Okay, so let's assume you have a hot plate, and let's assume that it's a non-adjustable hot plate. You don't have to worry about adjusting the temperature like we spoke about last week with Shehia. You don't have to worry about it. It's one of these Israeli non-adjustable platas. Okay, so what's the status of this plata? Do we say that it's the derech to cook on this plata or not? Now, if you tell me, well, it's not the derech to cook on a hot plate, nobody cooks on a hot plate, so maybe one can make an argument, well, if nobody cooks on a hot plate, then I should be able to take my potato kugel directly out of the fridge on Shabbos and put it down on the hot plate. Because nobody cooks on a hot plate, so it's not nirek imavasho. But if you make the argument, well, it's true that nobody cooks on a hot plate, but you might be able to cook on a hot plate because hot plates get pretty hot, so you might be able to cook on a hot plate, so then you might make the argument, well, if you can cook on the hot plate, even if generally we don't, but since you can, we're still concerned about this nirek himavasho. Okay, this seems to be a big debate, and many, many people are lenient with hot plates.
Sounds far-fetched,
right? Which one? The second one, right? So that's why it seems to be many people are lenient with hot plates, and many people do not consider hot plates to be like an open fire. Or even like a blech. Most people consider it to be a little bit better, that it's not that, a blech, okay, it's covering a stove. The blech is covering the stove. So even if you don't cook on the blech, generally speaking, but you cook on the stove, the blech is just covering the stove. That's like that kind of logic. A hot plate is a totally different device. Nobody cooks in a hot plate. And that's why many people are lenient and they'll put things directly onto their hot plate without necessarily having inverted pans or inverted pots on top of the hot plate, just to put things directly on the hot plate from the refrigerator. Again, assuming there's no bishul issue, right? There's no issue of reheating the food on Shabbos, no bishul issue. You can put it directly on the hot plate. Some people are machmir. And say that, listen, you can cook on a hot plate, right? People say, I've heard arguments made, when we travel, we bring a hot plate with us because it's easy to plug in. You could just cook on it, you can cook an egg on a hot plate. You can boil a little bit of water on a hot plate. you know, whatever the case is. So some make the argument that since it is possible to cook on a hot plate, you should be machmir and you should not put things directly onto the hot plate, but invert a pot, invert a pan on top of that hot plate before you put something down. It is, you know, so again, many people are lenient. If you're lenient, no problem. Some people are machmir. Some people, by the way, just on a practical note, some people find that the hot plate gets so hot that if you put like a potato kugel directly on it, the bottom will burn, you know, as the whole thing heats up. So some people like to invert a pan or invert something and put it on top of that anyway, just for a, you know, for practical reasons, so that your food, the bottom of your food doesn't burn, and then you benefit because you gain the opinion of the machmirim who say that you should not put things directly onto the hot plate anyway. So that's just an etza. Yeah.
If you're talking about derech visha, like the blech,
right?
They have a long blech. The flame is at one end. Are you allowed to put it at the other end?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So that's what we're going to talk about next.
First question before you go further.
Yeah.
I wasn't here last week, so yeah. I'm sorry for wasting anybody's time.
No problem.
A hot plate, you said it has no temperature control.
Right.
You're talking about a thermostat?
No, it has no, it's not adjustable.
Right. If it has a 1, 2, 3.
If it has that, then it should be covered. When you use it on Shabbos, just cover the knob, cover it. Because then it's like an oven. Like you have the stovetop. Yeah.
Everything's covered in
mine. Yeah, okay.
The crock pot also you have to cover.
Yes, correct. Yeah, yeah. You should cover the knob of the crock pot also, right? Okay. Okay, so. What was I going to talk? Okay.
We have silver foil, so.
Right. Tin foil's not good enough. If you take your potato kugel out of the. Whatever you ate Friday night,
right.
You're going to heat it, warm it up on Shabbos.
Right.
So you still have to put it, that's not good enough of a separation between the black.
You're saying just the aluminum foil of the potato kugel. So in general, we assume that.
It's not, but why is it not?
So in general, when you have things like that where the potato kugel is wrapped in aluminum foil, so generally in halacha, we view the aluminum foil, we don't take the aluminum foil into consideration, meaning we consider it to be batel to the potato kugel. The potato kugel is just wrapped in it, so it's not a significant separation between, you know, your heating element and the potato kugel because it's just wrapped in it. But by the way, so I noticed that I have it here on source number 8. If you look down at source number 8, so Rav Moshe writes this in source number 8. He has this question about a plata, about a hot plate. Hayimutu lechamem kederu shenizbash lo vihicham ktsas al gabe machshirim shenoadu lechimum v'lo lebishul. Right? You're allowed to warm up a. He's talking about something that's liquid, so it's still a little bit warm. You know, so it hasn't cooled down completely. You're allowed to reheat that on Shabbos, or you're allowed to heat it up on something that's made for warming. Right? It's not made for cooking. It's made for warming. Kiplata chashmalit. Right? Hot plate. Okay, or hot tray. O shulchan mechuman be'idim, steam table. They don't have that anymore, but I guess at one point they had steam tables. I'm not sure what a steam table is. But steam table, he writes. Gam below hefse kedero, without inverting a pan underneath or a pot underneath. Dein berach fisho lekach, are you allowed to do that? If you look on the second side of the page, he writes the tshuva. Al plata chashmalitim i'afshar lihisbashel sham. If it can't cook there, writes Rav Moshe, if you can't really cook on this hot plate, so then, azmutu lahamid kedei rachama imein sham elamida achas lehachom. If it's non-adjustable, right? If it's non-adjustable, so you don't have to worry about shema yichata that you might come to adjust the temperature. So, assuming it's non-adjustable, or even if it's adjustable, but you covered up that element, so then you're allowed. You would be allowed to put it there, assuming that you can't cook. He says if it is adjustable, then it's a problem. So you see, Rav Moshe seems to be grappling with, well, can you cook there or can you not cook there? And that's really where this whole hot plate discussion comes in. But again, many hold that since you can't really cook on a hot plate, and even if you can cook something, it's not totally not the normal way of doing it. So many people are lenient to put things directly onto a hot plate, you know, without a hefsek kedera, as Rav Moshe says, without that inverted pan. Some people are machmir, you know, a machmir tavo olav bracha, I would say.
Are you allowed to take a wide pan, fill it with water before Shabbos?
Right.
Put it on the hot plate, because a lot of people put their food not into the water,
right,
but in a silver tray into the water.
Yes, water, okay.
It's getting hot prior, before Shabbos.
Right.
So the water's hot. It doesn't boil, obviously.
Right.
And you take the your food, whether it's chicken or whatever.
You're saying like these trays that they have at a kiddush or something like that.
Silver tray, and
right,
you put it
right.
into that big.
So you're saying you're keeping the water. The water's on the fire.
The water stays warm, you're not.
And you're putting the pan in the water.
Because this way it keeps the food more moist.
Interesting. You're putting the pan in the water.
Well, that's a steam table.
Chafing dish. I don't know.
Right, like a chafing dish. Like a chafing dish, right. That's a steam table. It's a steam table?
Yeah. Are you allowed to warm up a baby's bottle on Shabbos, similar to that?
Right. So if you mean, right. So even if you say that that's a kli rishon, right? Let's say that's a kli rishon. Meaning assuming that you heated up the water in that pan, right? Then the pan would have the status of a kli rishon. So you want to take a pan of food, let's say you want to take a potato kugel, you know, or a 9x13, a potato kugel, let's say,
right.
And you want to put that into into a kli rishon. You want to put that into a kli rishon.
It's not a steam.
It's already
table.
Cooked.
It's not a steam table in that
right.
case. The steam table, the steam goes up to the second pan.
Uh-huh. I don't know what a steam table is, but okay. Right.
In another, you know, like in, over
right.
the table, you know,
okay,
well
okay.
of water, of steaming water. It keeps the same.
Right, so that's a little different than that's a little different than Kiwi's case, right? Kiwi's case is more direct. You're just putting it in the hot water, literally,
right.
the pan. I don't see what the problem would be to put the pan inside the kli rishon. I don't see, face value, I'm thinking about it. I don't see what the problem would be to put the pan inside the kli rishon. Because you're not, you know, first of all, this thing is cooked already. The potato kugel is cooked already, and you're not putting the potato kugel in the, kli. You're putting the pan with the potato kugel in the kli, unless you say that it cooks through the pan, and the yesh bishalach harafi. I'm not sure. I have to think about that. It's interesting, interesting case. If you don't heat it up, if you put hot water into the pan, so you're not heating it up in the pan itself.
Did you start with hot water?
Now, let's say you take hot water from an instant hot or from an urn and you put that into the pan
before
Shabbos, and then you just keep it on the fire so it stays hot,
right.
That's even a little bit better. Because then that would be a kli sheni. I'm trying to think, a kli rishon might be problematic, but a kli sheni, to put something into a kli sheni like that, I think for sure would be okay.
And you can leave it on the whole Shabbos. You can just leave it there.
I think so. Yeah, I got to think about it.
So
but
you take it off, it gets cold, and then you can't put it back on.
Correct. Right. Once the water gets cold, you can't put it back on. Right. Yeah. Okay, the next several sources, I'm not going to read them inside, but the next several sources deal with Joe's question, that if you have a blech, a long blech, right, that was your question, if you have a long blech, or even not a long blech, right, you have a, you know, just a regular rectangular blech, and you have one burner on. So one, the area right over the burner is very hot, right, but other areas, you know, of the blech are not going to be as hot. Imagine, you know, kind of like three areas. You have right over the burner, and then you have, you know, the concentric semicircle, let's say, or quarter circle, whatever it is, around that area. And then you have the rest of the blech, which is going to be, you know, it's going to be, you know, it'll be hot to the touch because it's a sheet of metal, but it's not going to be as, certainly not going to be as hot as right over the fire. So the halacha is that that if you're putting something, you know, on the, let's talk about on the other side of the blech, right, away from the fire. So there you're allowed to put something directly onto that area. Because that area is not over the fire, okay? It's on the opposite side of the fire. It's not, like I said, the metal will be a little bit hot, but it's not going to be, you know, really hot like it's over the fire, and therefore it's not considered that you're putting something directly over the fire if you put it in that spot. Once you're ready getting closer to the fire, so then you should invert a pan, then it's more near a kimavashel. But if you're just putting it on the other end of the blech, you know, just to warm up, that would be okay.
Well,
okay?
That answers the question of whether concerned about the appearance of cooking.
Correct, right.
Or cooking.
Right. Well, there's no fire under there. Right, okay. Okay, I want to talk about Chazara. If you skip down to source number 12. So Chazara is essentially the following scenario. It's the Friday night cholin syndrome, right? Friday night cholin syndrome. So I have my cholin that's on the crock pot. And, you know, everybody's sleeping and I'm hungry. So I want to have a little bit of cholent, right? Mm-hmm. I want to have a little bit of cholent Friday night, but I got to put the cholent back on, because if I don't, then I'm not going to have cholent tomorrow.
Why not take it off?
Okay. So I want to have cholent to Friday night, and I want to have cholent Shabbos day, okay? So now, so we learned that, that some, even though if the chalent is fully cooked, technically speaking, if the chalent is fully cooked, technically speaking, there are those who say that you can just take off the lid, assuming it's fully cooked, I can just take off the lid, scoop out the chalent, and then put the lid back on. However, we said that there is a chumrah not to do that. There's a chumrah not to do that, a stringency, and it's good to adopt the stringency if we can, to actually take the chalent out and ladle it out, and then put the chalent back on. Certainly, if the chalent or parts of the chalent are not fully cooked yet, then you have to do that, right? Because we mentioned that you can't, if you have part of the chalent that's not fully cooked yet, you can't take off the lid and put it back on, because that's kiruv bishul. You're accelerating the bishul process when you do that, and even removing some is going to accelerate the bishul process, so you can't really do that at all. I mean, the truth is, even if it's not fully cooked, you can't put it back anyway. But so let's assume we're talking about a fully cooked chalent, okay? Fully cooked chalent. But you know, ideally we should try to take it off the fire when we serve that chalent. So now, how do we go about putting it back on the fire? Can we just put it back on, or are there some conditions? So writes the Shulchan Aruch in source number 12 that there are conditions. Kirashi grufo ketuma. Let's assume that your stovetop has a blech, right? Grufo ketuma means it's covered; it has a blech. Or let's say in the case of the crock pot, that the crock pot is, let's say for our purposes, is lined with aluminum foil. That would be the equivalent of a blech for a crock pot. And you remove the pot from this heat source on Shabbos. Muta lahachzira. You're allowed to put it back, right? You're allowed to put it back onto the fire, assuming that you have the following conditions. Number one, Kolzman, well, we really had number one already, and that's why I underlined what I underlined are really the conditions. Number one was that you have a blech, right? Number one, you have to have a blech. That's number one. Number two, Kolzman shehiro sachas. The food still has to be hot, okay? The food still has to be hot. And we'll see in a minute why that is.
When you put it back.
When you put it back. We'll discuss each one of these independently. Writes the Rama, not only that, but the oda biyado, it should still be in your hand. It should still be in your hand. Don't put it down. Continues the Ramah. You should also have in mind when you take it off that I'm going to put it back onto the fire. And again, continues the Ramah. I'm skipping a little bit. And assuming, obviously, that this food, this chalent, is fully cooked. Because once it's not fully, if it's not fully cooked, then we can't return it back to the fire. And then you're allowed to put it back. Okay?
You mentioned that it has to have a silver foil.
Yeah.
Right? What if it's in a cooking bag?
A cooking bag? No. The heating element, meaning the I don't know what it's called.
The pot.
Let's say you have a crock pot, for example, right? So you have the metal heating element, and then you have the ceramic pot that fits into the metal heating element.
The pot has to be in there.
Right, no. So what I'm talking about, the aluminum foil, is that the heating element should be lined with aluminum foil.
Okay, and then the crock pot itself.
And then the crock pot sits in there, right, exactly. Because once the heating element is lined with aluminum foil, that's just like a blech. But if you think about a blech where you have a fire and you have a metal sheet covering the fire, so it's the same thing. The metal is the heating element, and here if I line it with aluminum foil, which is a little tricky, but you can do it. Try to do it when it's cold, by the way, right? I do it when it's hot, but it's easier when it's cold. So, if it's lined with aluminum foil, so that's the equivalent of a blech. Okay? So that's number one. Number one, you need a blech. Okay? So let's assume if you have, obviously, on your stovetop, you have a blech. And in the crock pot, you've lined it with aluminum foil. By the way, you can, I mentioned this last week, I think you can do it on Shabbos also. Let's say you forget to line it with aluminum foil, assuming you have the pre-cut aluminum foil sheets, so you don't have to tear aluminum foil on Shabbos, because you can't do that. But assuming that you have pre-cut aluminum foil sheets, you can take the pot out, take the ceramic pot out, and we'll learn what to do with it. But line it with aluminum foil, and then you can put it back. Okay. Now, it has to be hot. It has to be hot, right? Meaning when I'm putting this chalent back, it has to still be hot. I can't leave the chalent out for an hour, and it's going to cool down, and then put it back, right? Why? So writes the Mishnah Berurah in source number 13, Pratze eino doma l'chol haniskarim b'seif zeh. He says this detail here is a little bit different than the others, right? This requirement that the chalent has to be hot when I'm putting it back is a little bit different than the other requirements. Why? Debahem atam hu d'lo itiru chachamim chazara ki'im ba'ofen zeh. When it comes to the fact that you need a blech and that it still needs to be in your hand and you need to have your mind on it, all those requirements are really to maintain the original cooking, you know, cooking situation, so to speak. Right? That's the goal. But when it comes to the idea that it still has to be hot, that's in order to avoid bishul. That's in order to avoid bishul, because again, once my chalent, and chalents are liquidy generally, right? Once my chalent has cooled down, I can't reheat it. Because now reheating it is going to violate bishul. I can't do that. So that's a bishul issue, writes the Mishneh Berurah. This issue of shehiro sachas. Okay? By the way, if you look at the last requirement, mevushal kol tzarko, that's also a bishul issue. Right? Obviously, it has to be fully cooked, because if my chalent is not fully cooked, and now I take it off the fire and I put it back, I'm accelerating the cooking process. Once I've taken it off, now it's not going to cook anymore. Right? It'll cook just a drop because it's internally hot, but it's not going to cook anymore. Now I put it back, it's going to cook. So those two requirements, number one, that it has to be fully cooked, and number two, that if it's a liquid, it still has to be hot when I return it, those are bishul issues, says the Mishneh Berurah. Those two things are bishul issues. Now what about the other three requirements? The other three requirements are, number one, again, that you need a blech. Number two, that it has to be in your hand. And number three, that it has to be, you have to have intent, you have to have in mind, when you take it off, that you're going to replace it. Okay? So what's the idea behind these requirements? So the blech is essentially just because we don't want, you know, number one, we don't want to, you know, mess around with the temperature, we need a heker. That's number one. But the point here, and this is what the Mishneh Berurah describes in source number 15, the point here really is that we want to maintain the original cooking situation. Meaning what Chazal allowed us was to return a pot to a situation where it was before going into Shabbos. So for example, if my crock pot is sitting on the fire going into Shabbos, right? Chazal allowed a person to remove it from that situation sitting on the crock pot, and then to return it to the same situation, because that's not nesina lechatchila, going back to how we started this year. That's not nirek imevashel. It doesn't look like I'm cooking if I put it back into the same situation that I put it before. But once I already take my hand off of it, or I don't have in mind, or it doesn't have a blech, or whatever the case might be, now we view that as a new placement. It's now a new placement. I'm putting a crock pot I'm putting the pot into the crock pot for the first time. It's a new placement. New placements you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. You're only allowed to return. So that's why we need these conditions to ensure that when I replace the crock pot, it's really returning it to the original situation that it was in, and not a new placement. That's the idea behind it.
What if it's not a crock pot that sits on the fire, but an electric one? Same situation?
Yeah, I'm talking about an electric crock pot.
Put it on the fire.
When I say fire, heating element and fire, it's all the same thing. Okay. It's all the same thing. Now what happens if a person forgets one of these things? So again, the fact that the liquid has to still be hot and that it has to be completely cooked, you can't get around those because those are bishul issues. And if you don't have it, you're going to violate bishul. That you can't do on Shabbos, right? If you don't have a blech, you got to have a blech, right? So again, even if it means putting up a blech on Shabbos, you got to have a blech. That's a requirement, right? But what if I forgot one of the other things? What if I forgot one of the other requirements? So let's say, for example, I'm supposed to keep it in my hand, right? Let's say I forgot. Let's say I let go of it. By the way, before we discuss that, it's important to note that Rav Moshe, in source number 15, asks the question, you know, when we say Oda B'yada, that it has to be in my hand, what does that mean? Does that mean that I have to hold it like suspended in air, like this? You know, it's hard to dish out chalent when you're holding a crock pot. You know, with what are you going to do? You're going to hold it with one hand, and then you're going to do. You need two people, right? It's very difficult to do that. Yeah, it's hot and big. It's big and hot. So how am I going to do that? It's, you know, so Rav Moshe says that it's possible that you can be lenient to place the pot on the counter and just keep your hand on it, and as long as your hand is on it, that's considered oda b'yada. That's considered that it's still connected to the original placement and it's not a new placement. So that's what many people, most of us, I think, are lenient with. That as long as your hand stays on the pot at all times, you don't remove your hand, that's considered oda b'yada. So now we have the question, let's say one of these things slips your mind. So either I remove my hand from the pot, okay, so my hand was not on it the whole time, or when I took the pot off the fire, I didn't have in mind that I was going to replace it. So what's the halacha? What's the halacha in those cases if I forget one? Do I need both? That I need to keep my hand on the fire, and I need to have in mind that when I take it off, that I'm going to replace it? Are both of those things necessary? Or can I get away with, you know, as long as maybe I have one of them, or, you know, how does it work here? So the Bir Halacha writes that since this whole thing is a derabanan, He says that you can be lenient as long as you have one of the requirements. As long as you have either Odabiyado, that your hand is still on it, or Daito Lahachziro, that you had in mind when you took it off to replace it, as long as you had either one of those two, you're going to be okay, and you can still put your chalon pot back on. You don't have to worry. If you didn't have either of them, then you have a problem.
Then you're going to eat cold chalon.
Then you're going to eat cold chalon on Shabbos day, and your wife's going to be upset at you, right? But assuming that you have at least one of those requirements, meaning at least my hand stayed on it the whole time. I never took my hand off. Okay, you could switch hands, by the way, right? As long as you don't take your hand off. Or when I took it off, I had in mind. So then it's okay. Again, l'chatchila, we should try to do all of them, right? Try to have in mind when I take it off and keep my hand on it. But b'di'evet, if you forgot one of them, as long as you had the other, it's going to be okay and you can still do chazal. Yeah?
Is that how we get around, and you might have a kibbutz that was warmed up I put it on the black before Shabbos, and I take it off, and I put it in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, and after the morning, I want to put it back on.
So that's not chazal anymore.
That's not chazal.
Right, that's not chazal anymore, because that was in the fridge overnight, right? So that's certainly not odabiyado, right? Oh, you're saying that you're relying on the fact that it was daito lahachzir. No. That far we don't go. Yeah.
So any food you put in the refrigerator, you can't...
Once it's in the refrigerator, you cannot put it directly onto the fire. What you would have to do Shabbos morning is invert a pan or invert a pot. Yeah, that you could do. That's not chazal.
This is probably chazal putting it back on
the back, fire. Right back in the crock pot, right back on the fire. Yeah, this will allow you, by the way... You know, let's say, for example, you're serving the soup, okay? And you want to serve the soup, and now, people might want seconds, and you want the soup to remain hot, okay? You know, for people to have seconds, people are going to have seconds, let's say in 15, 20 minutes, and it's a small pot of soup, you want it to stay hot. So what you can do is you can do chazara, right? The soup is fully cooked. You can take the soup off the fire, keep your hand on it, have in mind that I'm going to put the soup right back on the fire, serve the soup, make sure to keep your hand on it, serve the soup, okay, and then as soon as you're done serving, put the lid back on, put it back on the fire, no problem, right? Exactly where it was. That's chazara. As long as you have all these conditions, and assuming you have a blech there, obviously, right? You have a blech, and so you meet all these conditions, and the soup is certainly still going to be hot, just from that short time period, so you can do it. The most common scenarios of chazara are these cases of, let's say, chalent, where a person is taking chalent Friday night, and they want to put it back for Shabbos day, or soup, which is a little bit less common. You want to take it off, and you want to put it back on. Those are the most common scenarios. Anything else that you're taking out of your refrigerator, so that wouldn't be chazara, you would have to invert the pan Shabbos morning. Okay? All right, we'll stop here. Thank you for coming. Next week we'll pick up. Not sure exactly with what topic yet, but we'll see. Stay tuned.